Good morning and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book study. My name is Dawn B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Southern California. Today's Monday, July 4th, 2022, and this is the 10 a.m. Eastern Time meeting. Today we are reading from the Big Book, and we're on page 12, the sixth paragraph, starting with "The Real Significance of My Experience," ending "How Blind I Had Been." And we're going to be reading and commenting on that one paragraph only this morning. Today's readers are the 12 Steps, Becca R., 12 Traditions, Lily M. Reader of the text, Shelley E. Kara L. will read page 164, and our backup reader is Shelley E. The reference number for Sunday, July 3rd, is 19,132. That's 19132. And for this morning, Monday, July 4th, the 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting, the reference number is 19,133. That's 19133. Our newcomer greeter this morning will be Lorraine N., and Robin P. will do the announcements. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I'll now ask Becca R. to read the 12 steps. Good morning, Becca.
Good morning, Becca. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay. The 12, this is Becca R. calling from Kentucky. Okay, come on. 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we're entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for the knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to other compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thanks for listening.
Thank you so much, Becca R. And I'm now going to ask Lily M. to read the 12 traditions. Good morning, Lily.
Yes, good morning, everybody. This is Lily M. I'm calling from Idaho. The 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. Number one, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Number two, for a group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Number three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Number four, Each group should be autonomous, except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Number five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive eater who still suffers. Number six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Number seven, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. Number eight, Overeaters Anonymous shall remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. Number nine, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. Number 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. Number 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. Number 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. And thank you for the ability to serve this morning.
Thank you so much, Lily M. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature and then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker's should be muted. Today we resume our study of the Big Book, and we're on page 12, the sixth paragraph, The Real Significance of My Experience, ending with How Blind I Had Been. And we're reading and commenting on that one paragraph only. I will now ask Shelley E. to read and share with us. Good morning, Shelley.
Good morning, Dawn. This is Shelley E., a recovered compulsive overeater in Arlington, Texas. The Big Book, page 12. The real significance of my experience in the cathedral burst upon me. For a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God. There had been a humble willingness to have him with me, and he came. But soon, the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly those within myself. And so it had been ever since. How blind I had been. Again, Shelley E., recovered compulsive overeater. And so what we know Bill is alluding to is the cathedral. And it's the here lies a Hampshire grenadier who caught his death drinking cold small beer. A good soldier is ne'er forgot whether he died by musket or pot, an ominous warning which he failed to heed. And I know my experience is that God came to me first as a whisper. And I was given plenty of chances, plenty of examples, but it took the 2x4 for me to really recognize where I was, that I had a disease, and that I needed higher power to get me through it. You know, he really did try and come in softly, and I always had an excuse, a reason, another effort that I was going to take, or I just didn't listen, you know, and even if I recognized it, and even here, We have instances where Bill has recognized it again. On page 10, it says that wartime day in old Winchester Cathedral came back again. I mean, he has seen time and time again that his way is just not going to work, and he needs a higher power. And it just gets worse and worse and worse, and it's not done getting worse. But I do. It helps me see my journey when I read Bill's journey. And I have written on the top of this page, page 13, who moved away from God? Because I know God didn't move away from me. I moved away from him. Anyway, thanks for letting me share, and I look forward to hearing everybody else. I pass.
Thank you so much, Shelley E. And I'm now going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing to every third day in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
Kenny L.C.
Christina
L.C.
J.
Barbara S.
Christina J.
Angie.
I heard Devorah S. And I
Bonnie
heard...
D.
Elaine G and Bonnie B. And who did I miss? I have Penny LC, Christina J, Devorah S, Elaine G, and Bonnie B. Was there someone else? Okay, let's go with that lineup. Penny LC, please get us started. Thank you. Press star one, Penny LC.
Thank you. Thank you, Don, for your service. This is Penny L.C., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater from the state of Washington. When I read this paragraph, it takes me to my similar experience that was going on 25 years ago when, as a stage 4 cancer patient, I had had a powerful spiritual awareness unfold, that my higher power was with me, with love and support to walk me through that fearful time. However, as my life went back to the clamor of, the daily life, including the responsibilities of being a wife, of raising two young boys, and of running a household, all too soon I was in the grips of self-centered fear and the need to control life around me. So there I was as a survivor of cancer and having been taken down to a normal weight from all of the medication. I went right back to my disease because it's what I knew, and put my weight back on and let go of God. And it wasn't until 10 years later that I finally, this disease took hold and I surrendered and then set forth to reclaim that connection with my higher power. So I do totally understand, what our ego, my ego, can do when it's in control. And how important it is that I turn that over to my higher power and allow myself to be guided. I'm grateful for the awareness today. With that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Penny LC. Now, Christina J., please share with us.
Morning, everyone. Excuse me, I'm emotional. I have a lot of emotion going on. I've been on the road for 7 days, driving to North Carolina from Washington as we're relocating. During this time, I've been feeling a lot of things. I've never moved. I've moved many times in my life, but I've never moved clean. Never experienced this much stress being clean. So God was with me, though. I experienced this paragraph as I travel across, realizing how important my relationship with God has become. Yesterday, I had another step one experience where I was standing in a convenience store and everything was calling to me. The whole place was calling to me. And I stood at the door and it was just not an option. I couldn't use. It was not an option. That was the miracle. But it was sad for me because I was stressed out, built up, you know, with all the stress of the journey. And I just cried. I cried because it was just like my step one experience 2 years ago, almost 2 years ago on July 17th, when I first experienced a true step one, where I walked away from the food and I cried because I couldn't use anymore. I couldn't use the lover. I had to turn away. And what I did 2 years ago was a voice said, make a call. So as I stood there, I realized that I needed to make a call. I needed to make several calls. I called out several fellows. One put me on a prayer list, which I'm so grateful for. I felt those prayers holding me all day yesterday. And I made it. I made it through. And another fellow said, well, you get to feel things deeper than you've ever felt. But it's a miracle that we don't have to use. We have this realization, as Bill did, how blind I had been all those years when I would use food for stress. It was the only thing I had. I didn't know. And it was the thing I turned to for over 60 years of my life. And I don't have to do that anymore. So grateful. You just don't know. You could just slip down into the dark hole at any given moment unless you strengthen that relationship with that higher power within you. It's so crucial to cultivate that. It's the only thing we have. There is no door number one or two. There's only one door. I've said it before. It's door G for God, you know, or your higher power. Find a way to cultivate that. Work these steps. Get yourself a relationship with that precious place in your heart. And reach out to fellows. Don't isolate in your pain. I could have isolated yesterday and not made any calls and suffered through and kept wishing for the food, but I didn't have an option. The food is not an option for me. It's gross. It's junk. It takes me down to fucking hell. Excuse my language, please. I'm very passionate about this morning. For the newcomers, I saw so many people on the road, so heavy, so miserable. I don't know if they're overeaters, but by God, 400 and 500 pound people, I don't know. I have to suspect that they might have a problem and they're turning to food and using it because they have nothing else. Our world is suffering without God. It's up to me and all of us in recovery to cultivate that, carry the message of hope and recovery. Thank you so much, and I love you guys, and I'm so grateful I got to share today. I pass.
Thank you, Christina J., en route to North Carolina. Deborah S., please share with us.
Hi, good morning, everyone. And my name is Deborah S., I'm recovered in, I'm all mixed up, recovered in New Jersey. Thank you for taking me. And can you hear me okay? Because I'm not sure if my Bluetooth is working properly. Am I being heard okay?
There is a little bit of static on there. I don't know if you can...
How's this? Is this better?
Yeah, it sounds better.
Right. So, but soon the sense of his presence had been blotted out by worldly clamors, mostly within myself. So what I have here, when I was taking notes, it said my clamors that are within myself, the remorse, the helplessness, despair. You know, these are all things that I put upon myself because I'm not putting my trust and my faith in my higher power. And that could be very debilitating and makes me forget who is really running the show here. And as I progress in program, I'm realizing, you know, that's not the only worldly clamors that I have. Because, you know, I can get blotted out from my higher power. Just with today's technology, with my cell phone, I can get lost in that, and social media. All that means for me you know, where I'm putting other stuff ahead of what really God wants me to do. I don't know if God wants me to spend endless amounts of time, you know, just, you know, going through, you know, listening to the news or all this stuff that's going on takes me away from what I could be doing for others and seeking God's will. It's so easy for me to just fall into that trap of all the stuff, you know, shopping online, you know, just forgetting about what my real purpose here in the world is, to be helpful, to be kind, to be of service to other people. That's what brings me closest to my higher power. That doesn't shut me off from the sunlight of spirit. So I'm so grateful for this program that teaches me how to serve, how to get close to God, how to develop a relationship with God. And it's honestly, it's through you. It's through the fellowship. You know, how, what am I doing today for another person? That is what is the essence of what my program has to look like. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you so much for letting me share. And have a great day, everyone.
Thank you so much, Devorah S. from New Jersey. Elaine G., will you share with us, please? And before Elaine G. shares, I'd like to just remind everybody, we're on page 12, the sixth paragraph, the real significance of my experience, ending with how blind I have been, and we're sharing on that one paragraph only. So go ahead, Elaine, please share with us.
Hi, everybody. This is Elaine from New York. And I can really relate to this paragraph. I had a situation, actually a friendship, where I was very blind of what was going on in the friendship. I finally realized that, and then I went to God, this person had been abusive, and, you know, having to how they talked to me, mean, you know, and I had been nothing but nice to them. And it's an older woman, you know, an older woman. And, you know, I said, God, you got to help me here. I got to stop being friendly with her, you know. And I'm hearing a voice in my head lately that says, don't call her. Don't call her, you know. And she lives in my building, and I see her all the time. But, you know, she's like toxic to me, toxic. And very bad for my physical and mental health. You know, Lord knows that when I get off the phone with her or I talk with her, I get very upset. And I've done a million 10 steps on her. You know, they help at the time, the 10 steps, you know, but I need to take action. And so God said to me, go call other people. So I did. I called other people. And the one person I called was my sister, who's in assisted living. And she knew her. And because of the shock treatment, a lot of the shares don't remember, but she's very depressed and this and that, and she don't talk to me, but she was listening to me, and I was talking to her, and she told me as the big sister, because she's 10 minutes older than me, what to do. You know, don't talk to her. Don't, if she calls, don't pick up the phone. You know, she comes to the door, don't answer the door, you know. She'll finally get the hint, you know, and that's what people have been telling me. And so, you know, like my sponsor, my food sponsor and me, we have for me, in case I wake up in the middle of the night to have this fruit, you know, I count it as my commit for the day. And I gone in the kitchen, I took two bites, and I said, I don't want this. What am I eating this for? You know, and I dropped it. And, you know, I was too tired to eat it anyway. Sounds funny. But anyway, thanks a lot.
Thank you so much, Elaine G. from New York. Bonnie B., will you share with us? And then I'll be opening up the lines to take more names. Good morning, Bonnie.
Good morning, Don. Thank you for your service. Good morning, Becca. I mean, thank you, Becca, for that amazing opening. And to everyone else, Bonnie B., gratefully recovered by the grace of our loving God, currently in Minnesota. So the thing that stuck out to me was that for a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God. I mean, I came into this program with a relationship with my Savior, and so I felt like I had God, and yet in this area of my life, I had closed God out. And so for a brief moment, I said, God, I need you, and he came. And this is what I find this program to be for me over and over and over, is the desire or that willingness to say, okay, when he reveals something to me, in that brief moment for me to say, okay, I want you in this area. And he comes. And then something else is revealed. And I say again, I want you in this area. And he comes. It's always soft. It's gentle. It's loving. It's kind. And what I have found to be my experience is that I couldn't see what I couldn't see. And so there's no shame and no guilt in that. But only God can open my eyes to those things that I can't see. And the more that I drop the worldly clamors, and it's what everyone had addressed, the closer I get to God, because there's less obstacles. There's less things competing with God, competing with me to be able to hear his voice in these areas. And so the gift of the experience is that it can be new every day. When I wake up and I invite God in, I say, I offer my heart to you, God, all of my heart. I know that he comes in. He's going to show me what he wants to show me. And all the other stuff is going to fall away. And then I get to go, wow, how blind I had been. But not with there being shame and guilt. With that gratefulness that he has opened up this new door. Something that not only do I get freedom in, but now I get to share it with someone else. And so what a beautiful, beautiful thing this is. Because it's not just one time. It's every single day if we're willing to say, God, I offer my heart to you. Have all of me, and he is always faithful to show up. And we get to live free, and we get to share it with other people, and is there a better gift? Nothing that I've ever found. So I will pass with that. Once again, thank you so much to everyone, and have a blessed day, you guys. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Bonnie B. from Minnesota. And now I'm going to be opening up the line to take the names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. We are on page 12, the sixth paragraph, starting with the real significance of my experience. Although we value
Diane
your experience. One moment, please. Although we value your experience, we ask that you listen to your sharing every Thursday in order that others might share their experiences too. So who would like to share with us this morning?
This is Raquel.
Diane B.
Diane B.
Chelsea B.
Chelsea B. Becca R. Becca R.
Reggie O.
Reggie O.
Reggie
B. Reggie O. Okay, I have Diane B., Kelsey B., Becca R., Reggie O., Carla C. Let's go with that lineup. Diane B., please share with us.
Good morning. This is Diane B., gratefully recovered in New York, living in the steps one day at a time. Thank you so much for having me to share. I'm so happy to be back on this meeting live again because I work, and it's amazing that we're reading this paragraph today. Yesterday, I was talking with several people, including my sponsor, that I've been having food thoughts. I've been recovered for over two and a half years, and I was like, wow, why am I feeling hungry? Not really craving anything in particular, just kind of feeling like, oh, I'd like to have something to eat. And, you know, different people said different things to me, like go back to basics, do what you did when you came out of relapse. And my sponsor, thank God for my sponsor, said, asked me, well, what are you doing? Are you doing steps 10 and 11? And I was like, oh, really? Yeah, I mean, I pray, but I haven't really been meditating, and I haven't really been doing 10 steps. And, you know, the worldly clamor for me right now is that I work in a day camp, and so I have long, hot, sweaty days. I come home, I'm exhausted. I have to wake up early, early for me, so I can be there on time. And all of that was kind of getting in the way of my program. And so I've learned that in order for me to maintain or to actually to keep my program and to continue to grow in this program, I have to be honest with other people. I have to have that humble willingness to speak with God and also to speak with my friends who are my gods and skin. So, you know, those worldly clamors can easily take over in my life. I have to say that my ego gets stroked a lot when I'm working in this day camp because I have a really great position and I feel useful. But I have to remember that I can't do this without my higher power. And so for me, the reminder was to continue working steps 10, 11, and 12, which is basically all the steps combined. And to just, you know, remember that first, program first. So thank you for allowing me to share. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Diane B. Kelsey B., will you share with us now, please?
Hi, I'm Chelsea B. from New Jersey. I'm brand new. This is my first OA meeting. I don't really know if, I've been in AA for 4.5 years, and I kind of had like a first step experience a little bit. Last night, I kind of realized that I always said that I had an estranged relationship with food for like since my freshman year of high school, and now it's 10 years later, and I never really addressed that I have an eating disorder. And so it was very interesting to, you know, have that experience yesterday, and I can see my eating disorder in my every day and everything I do for the past 10 years. And my AA sponsor, I got honest with her about it, and she sent me some links. So I got up early and decided to check it out. So I just wanted to say hi. And yeah, I'm new, and I'm trying to navigate this. So with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Chelsea B. from New Jersey. And please stick around till the end of our meeting. We have a time for newcomers to announce their names and numbers. So we'd love to get your number and let our community welcome you. Becca R., please share with us now, please.
Hey, thanks. It's Becca R., recovering compulsive overeater, calling from, I'm from Kentucky. I'm actually in Florida this week. But I wanted to share about the significance of his experience in the cathedral and how so often I can be in, not be divinely inspired at all times, or I can be in a bit of a slump or just life on life's terms, whatever you want to call it. But I can recall that I call him evidence of God. And I look back over my life and I look at all the profound evidences of God. And it's easy for me to see the really big ones. But somehow when I'm focusing on looking for it, I can see it in the little daily, tiny, minute things. And I'm able to change that perspective a little bit from, my character defect of victimization of being a martyr, and get into gratitude and acceptance. Just really grateful to have this program, to be abstinent today, to be aware and accepting of exactly where I am today, and letting go of any ideas that I know best, and just resting in that higher power, that higher power has me, and that there, it's not even about waiting for everything to be okay, but just accepting that everything is okay. Everything is okay as it is right now. Thanks for letting me share a path.
Thank you so much, Becca R. from Kentucky. Reggie O., would you share with us now, please?
Hi, yes. Good morning, Dawn. Thanks so much for your service. My name is Reggie O., gratefully recovered in Texas today. And I thought I was farther down the line, so let me see if I can remember what I'm going to talk about here. You know, I think the thing that struck me in this reading that was that Bill and Ebby had that conversation about why don't you choose your own conception of God. And then this is when Bill completely changed his conversation in this book and his experience. And I guess I feel really grateful for this program and for Vision, because that is so stressed, you know, your own conception of God. Because when I came into program many years ago, I had a conception of God that I wanted nothing to do with, you know, that for goodness sakes, I'm not going to surrender myself to this God that I knew it was. And over the course of time, I have come, without going through a lot of history, because there were a lot of ups and downs and changes in this over the past 30 some odd years, however long I've been in program. And not that very long ago, some months ago, I was looking at this question again, you know, what is my conception of God? And it just came through me. My conception of God is, you know, a loving, all-powerful presence that loves me no matter what I do, think, or say, you know. And that doesn't give me permission to go out and do, think, or say, you know, things that aren't right or that aren't, you know, helpful. But it gave me this permission to have a God that I could fully turn my life and my will over to. And I have to keep on track. And the program not only gave me a conception, you know, that idea of a conception of God that I could live with and turn my will and my life over to, but it gave me a way to do that, you know, a way to get rid of the, you know, the food obsession and all of those worldly clamors. And they don't all go away, but it gave me a way to get rid of a lot of them early on through the steps, and then have a way every day that I could continue to work with that. And do I go to God with everything right away? No, I forget sometimes, but it's always there, and it grows stronger. And you know, and the other thing is, I've been blessed to have a new sponsor in my life, who is, I totally get, an emissary from God for me, you know. And I am learning that out of the worst of things, God always brings the best of things if my eyes are open. And example, my sister died last September, a very painful way, on a respirator with COVID. It was incredibly painful for me, but I had never really experienced deep loss in my life until then. And my sister's death cracked me wide open. And out of that wide open, cracking open, I'm healing from a lifetime of things I didn't feel, you know. But I could never do it. I could never do it without these steps and without God and without right now living in 10, 11, and 12. So thanks for letting me share, and I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Reggie O. from Texas. As a reminder, we are on page 12, the sixth paragraph, The Real Significance of My Experience. And Carla C. is now going to share with us, and then I'll take a couple more names. Good morning, Carla.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you for letting me share. Carla C. in California. I love this paragraph because on Saturday I woke up and I heard, in every man, woman, and child, there is a fundamental idea of God. And I just cried out to God, God, I just want you in my heart today. And He really showed up in an awesome way, you know. My friend that I'm learning from, and my sponsor, and all the fellows that I have in this program, they just remind me of the love of God and how beautiful this life really is. And I'm just so grateful and humble. And I was reading Step 7, you know, about how it's so good to be humble and calm and just trust and be free from fear. I'm just so grateful for this program. So thanks for letting me share. And I'm grateful that I can put aside the worldly clamors, you know, and just trust one day at a time and in these steps. And thank you for letting me share. Carla in California.
Thank you so much, Carla from California. And now I'm going to open up the line to take a couple names of people who would like to share on this paragraph. Although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your sharing.
Hello, this is Raquel.
In order that others might share their experiences too. So I heard Raquel. All right, and who else would like to share?
Marcia D.
Was that Marcia?
Yeah.
Okay, very good. All right, go ahead, Raquel, and please give us your initial and where you're calling from. Star one, Raquel. Go ahead, Raquel.
Hello, can you hear me now?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah,
wow.
Go ahead.
Thank you so much for calling on me. And if this is not an act of God, I don't know what is. Because I just had a friend drop in, and we were, smartphone was open. That's the only thing I do with the smartphone, to listen, and that I can hear in bed when I am and be with the program all the time. And she, I had another call and she was listening, and I just opened the book for her because she's a program friend. And I opened the book to where, what we are studying now. And then it led me, this led me to go to the language of the heart, the book that has in it some additional readings that prove, program approved. But here, when he is speaking about, for a brief moment, I had needed and wanted God, this thing at the cathedral that happened to him, he really discovered both things at the same time, almost. In New England, before he was shipped to Europe, in America, in New England, he discovered alcohol. And it says very clearly here, in Bill's story, he says he discovered here was love and applause and so on. But then he says, I was part of life at last. And in the midst of the excitement, I discovered liquor. And then when he's in England already, he discovers and he sees that tombstone that speaks about somebody who died from alcohol. This is what they mean by pot. It's beer. Beer has in it alcohol. So these two things at the very beginning have come together for him. And here is the letters of Bill. Bill wrote to Dr. Jung when he already, in 1961, he wrote to Dr. Jung to tell him what, and to thank him for what part he played in the establishment of AA because of Roland Hazard, who went to him. And he says here, his craving for alcohol was the equivalent on a low level of the spiritual thirst of our being for wholeness, expressed in medieval language, the union with God. This is what we're talking about. And he says, actually, that it can take you at that point, that terrible thirst of the soul can take you to perdition or can take you to God. I'm strongly convinced that the evil principle prevailing in the world leads the unrecognized spiritual need into perdition if it is not counteracted either by real religious insight or by protective walls of human community. An ordinary man not protected by an action from above and isolated in society cannot resist the power of evil, which is called very aptly. Well, he says the word. He couldn't say these words to Roland Hazard. But the end, he says, you see, alcohol in Latin, spiritus, and you use the same word for the highest religious experience. I'll wrap up here. As well as for the most depraving poison, the helpful formula, therefore, is spiritus contra spiritum. And this is Dr. Jung, who helped us. How helped AA become. And now, you know, he says, these are the two things, either the spirit or the spiritum, the alcohol. And with us, that's how it is. And that's why these our rooms are filled with high souls, wonderful, wonderful souls that the other side, the destructive side, is working on us over time. Thank you very much for letting me share.
Thank you, Raquel from Israel. Marcia, please share with us now and let us know where you're calling from.
Okay, good morning, OA family. This is Marcia D in Ohio, and happy 4th of July to those who are celebrating. I am happy to be here reflecting on this reading today. I've always believed in God. The truth, though, is that I haven't always trusted God. I've been blessed to be a Catholic Christian my whole life. It's been a beautiful experience for me. That's just my experience. I know for others it has not been, but for me it has been. And so I just continue to strive to grow closer to God today, to know Him more fully in my life. I am admittingly struggling with the food. I buried my mother on January 29th, and I picked up food around that same time, and I haven't been able to put it down since. So 20 pounds later, I am struggling to come out of relapse. And so hearing all of you talk, even those that have honestly shared about having had cravings of late, just reminds me that even though I relapsed, especially since I relapsed, I need to work the steps. I stopped doing the daily 10th steps. I stopped making as many calls. I have continued to go to a meeting every day, to talk to my sponsor, and to pray and meditate. So I do trust that there will be an end to this madness. But I'm just here to be honest and share, since this is an honest program, that, it is a chronic, progressive, and fatal illness. And in this relapse, I've gone places with food I had never gone before. And it really is that rapacious creditor, as it says in our big book. So I don't want to continue to lament over that. But for today, I'm here. I'm on the line. I welcome support and outreach and prayers from any of you. And I just thank you all for being here and being a continual, light on this path of recovery. Thanks. I pass.
Thank you so much, Marcia D. from Ohio. And we're now going to be closing the meeting. Thank you to everyone who shared and everyone who gave service, who made this meeting possible. We're now going to close with a reading from the Big Book on page 164, followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kara L. please read A Vision for You? Our book is meant to be suggestive only. Keep you until then. Good morning, Kara.
Good morning, Don. This is Kara L., recovered compulsive overeater from Long Beach, California. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then.